You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
It's always a little weird when 4th of July is on a Thursday. Everybody have a good, safe 4th? Had a good time? Enjoy some fireworks? I got to spend some time with a friend whose wife works for a firework company, so... lot of explosion. It was probably the biggest fireworks show I've ever seen in my life. And we got to watch it off his deck. So I felt pretty blessed. And the fact that I was out of the parking lot in like a minute. I think that's the worst part about a fireworks show, right? Is trying to get out and go home. Well, my name's Colin. I'm so glad to be with you here this weekend. I'm the youth pastor here at Canby Foursquare. And I've got a little bit to share with you this morning, but before I even get started, we have got some morning announcements. I don't have the music behind me, I'm sorry, but this will do. So this next weekend, we have Pastor Angel coming to visit us from Pasco, Washington, and Pastor Ron wanted me to make sure that I invited you, because he just believes, and we know that it's going to be an incredible weekend. Pastor Angel is an amazing man of God who loves this church, loves Pastor Ron, and so we just want to make sure that you're here with us this weekend. Also, we're having a barbecue after second service, free barbecue just for everybody. Let's come, let's hang out, let's spend time together, enjoy the summer. So don't worry about lunch next weekend after second service. We've got you covered. Don't bring anything. We will take care of you. We'll eat together. We'll have some fun, and it'll be a good time. So those are a couple of them. Also, for high school and middle school camp, the last day to sign up is tomorrow. Kids camp is closed off. They're leaving this Thursday. But middle school and high school camp, we still have a few spots left. So if you haven't gotten your students signed up and you want to, it's not too late. We actually have a table out in the lobby that we can take care of you right there to make sure everything works and gets done. Registration closes at noon tomorrow. So we just want to make sure that any kid that wants to go to camp gets to. If money is an issue, we have a generous God who has generous people. I've never turned somebody away from not coming to camp because they couldn't afford it. So if you need a scholarship, talk to me or talk to Ethan, who's going to be at the back table in the lobby. So also, we've been doing something really cool in youth. I just want to share with you guys. Wednesday nights, we're still going through the summer. We won't be meeting while we're at camp because we'll all be at camp. But we've been doing this summer devotion series, and we just gather together Wednesday night. We had Pizza the Word a couple weeks ago. We're having s'more devotions this week. So make sure if you've got a student there with us, we're going to roast some marshmallows and graham crackers. We were supposed to do a couple weeks ago, but I don't know if you guys experienced that wild, crazy storm that came through. It was not safe to be out holding metal sticks with students. I mean, that's already a risky endeavor, but to add lightning to the mix really changes things. So if you've got a student, we'd love to see them there with us. And I love summer. Summer is so great. Summer in Oregon is awesome because we don't have humidity. I have some friends who live on the East Coast, and we were talking this week, and they were just sharing with me about how terrible and miserable they were because of the humidity. And I just said, God, thank you for your good grace that you would make this a great place to live with no humidity, where I don't have to jump back into the shower just after walking outside. So this morning, I'm going to talk about grace. Everybody say grace. And I just believe that grace is amazing, that it's incredible, it's life-changing. And so when Pastor Ron gave me the opportunity to share on something, I want to share on something that God's even been kind of working in me with you. And so have you ever found yourself in a spot that maybe you don't deserve? And I'm not talking about like the ticket that you got for not speeding. I'm talking about like in a good spot, right? Like maybe you did something where you didn't deserve it, but you find yourself like, wow, how did I get this blessed? I remember one time several years ago while I was still in college, me and my best friend were house-sitting for the president of our college, actually Robert Flores, you guys know him, and we were house-sitting for him, and my buddy had a Thursday night class, but I did not, and he said, hey, I'm going to skip tonight. Notice I didn't skip. I'm a good kid. He's like, let's skip. I gotta go to Ross, pick up some socks for our sock. We play intramural soccer. He's like, I gotta pick those up, and then we go feed the dogs. And I was like, cool, man. If you're cool with skipping class, let's do that. So we drive over to Ross and we grab some socks, and I look up and I start laughing. And my buddy's like, what's so funny? And I said, the professor whose class you're skipping, his wife is right here. Now, we went to a small Bible college where you knew everybody. So it wasn't like we could be anonymous. And I start laughing, and he shoves everything he's buying in my chest and books it out to his car. So I jump in line behind her, and I'm just kind of chuckling, and she's like showing me everything that she's getting for her kids, and I'm like, oh, that's really nice. And then she goes, oh, and by the way, I was not getting anything. And she goes, oh, and you know what? I'll get his stuff too. And I am like dying on the inside, trying not to laugh. I was like, no, you don't have to. Please don't, like, no, I got it. She's like, no. And she grabs it out of my hand, sets it down. She's like, I'm paying for this. Okay. So I am dying on my way back to the car. And my buddy goes, okay, how much do I owe you? I was like, oh, you don't owe me anything. He's like, dude, let me pay for him. I said, no, you don't owe me anything. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, she bought your socks and shorts. And he just looked at me and he goes, this is not a good example because I'm skipping her husband's class right now. Too much grace. Too much grace. And I think that really is true. We have too much grace that we probably don't even understand or know what to do with it. God's grace for us is so incredible. And it is one of those words that maybe if you've been around church for a long time, it kind of gets thrown around and you hear it, grace. Yeah, oh, grace. I'm so thankful for grace and grace and grace. You know, we talk about it a lot. And so sometimes even our perspective of it is like, oh, yeah, grace is great. Like, move on to the next thing. And so what I'd invite you to do this morning is let's look at it with a fresh perspective. Let's look at it like maybe it's our first time looking at grace. Because I think it is the first time we're looking at the grace that God's extending to us today. Because every day we walk into a new grace. Every day he covers something that he didn't have to cover yesterday. And so, you know, grace really is, it's this unmerited favor of God. And it's shown through salvation to us sinners. Grace is not fair. The thing about grace is I want grace to be fair. Like, I want to be able to earn grace. Like, oh, I messed up, let me make it right. I don't know if anybody else shares that sentiment, but it's like, I screwed up, let me fix it, let me make it right. But what grace really is God saying, you messed it up, I'm going to make it right. It's done. It's sealed. It's finished. And, you know, grace isn't just a New Testament idea. I think sometimes we think of grace and how it pertains to the cross, but God has been a gracious God from day one when he created the heavens and the earth, right? And then he created Adam, which, by the way, I was thinking about this. Adam didn't have to plant anything in the garden. Like, people say they love gardening, but like one of the things I remember as a kid was my dad loves gardening, but I had to do all the weeding and all the planting most of the time. So gardening is awesome, it's great, but Adam didn't even have to do that. He didn't have to plant anything, he didn't have to weed anything, he just showed up. God did all the work for him. So right off the bat, like, God is gracious. Then Adam starts to feel like something's missing, something's alone. He didn't do anything to earn it, and God sends Eve. Here you go. And so then they're sitting in the garden, they're enjoying God's handiwork. Like, that's incredible. That's so gracious of God. And then when they messed up, right, and they ate from the tree they weren't supposed to, God was so gracious in his response. Now, sometimes we may look at it and go, well, he kicked them out of the garden. How gracious is that? If I was God, I would just start over. I would have been like Apple. Get your iPhone 1, your iPhone 2, your iPhone 3, you know? Like, okay, we got Adam and Eve 2.0. We got Adam and Eve 3.0. We got Adam, like, I would just keep releasing new models of Adam and Eve until they get it right. And I'll tell you what, if I know humanity like I do, I'd be on Adam and Eve 2 million right now. But instead of doing that, God enacted a plan to move heaven and earth by sending his son so that you and I one day could enjoy pain-free, sorrow-free, sickness-free, death-free heaven with him, eternity. That's grace. That's his favor on our life. And this is something I say all the time, is favor ain't fair. His favor ain't fair. When you're his favorite, which all of us are, his favor ain't fair on us. He gives it to us abundantly. He gives it to us openly. He gives it to us freely, simply because he loves us. Let's pray, and then we'll go into the scripture. God, I pray this morning that each one of us would experience and encounter your grace in a new way, that, God, we would come to the throne today and we would see you and realize how much you love us and care for us. And God, I pray that as we walk out of this room today, we'd be changed by your goodness, by your love, by your mercy, and by your grace. In your name, amen. So this morning, we're going to be in Titus 2:11 through 15. I like the book of Titus. Like, it's been a while since I'd been in it, but as I was reading it, just being reminded of Paul writing this letter to Titus, who he considers a son, and just this really close relationship. And so when I read this letter, I try to read it as a son. And so I try to receive it like fatherly wisdom that's going to help me with life. It's going to help me succeed. It's going to help me become better. And so it goes like this. It says, For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. I love this scripture because the first thing that is first is it says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. It's like, right off the bat, here you go. Salvation is yours. This is the grace of God. This is the gift to you. And what I love especially is that that's first, and then it says, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. It doesn't say, you're instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures, and then you will receive salvation. It doesn't say that. Again, I said grace is a free gift, right? Sometimes I'd like to earn it, so I feel like it's justified. But really, it's a free gift that was offered first, and then it's through that gift that God expects transformation. He said, once you receive my gift of grace, you will watch your life transform. So really, kind of what we're going to go through is these three ideas. That grace has been shown to us, that grace transforms us, and that grace changes the world. So we're going to go through these next few moments, and this is what we're going to be talking about. So grace has been shown to us. It's been given to us. It's been demonstrated to us. I love a good demonstration. Anybody else like to go to Costco and sit and watch the Vitamix guy make some tortilla soup? I love that demonstration, because what it is I get to experience. It's not like on TV. Anybody ever watch infomercials that are cooking food on TV and you just get so hungry? It's like, wow, that's really cool, but I'd like to enjoy that. And you go to Costco, you go to the Vitamix guy, you say, what are you making? I don't want that fruit smoothie. I want some chicken tortilla soup, please. And they make it for you. It's amazing. It's incredible, right? But they're demonstrating it. They're showing you what it can do, and then they're handing it to you so you can experience it. That's how God shows his grace. Is it's not a, hey, look at this, what's available to you, but you've got to come get it. No, he's saying, here you go. This is available to you. This is what my grace can do. This is what can happen. And so grace is something that's there and it's available from the moment we enter this world. From the moment we take our first breath, grace is there for us. And the grace that's been shown to us covers everything we've done and everything we will do. And the thing about grace is you can't really talk about grace without talking about sin. And sin is like, we live in a culture that doesn't really like to talk about sin, right? We live in a culture and a time where it's like, just do what's right for you, and I'm not going to judge you, and, you know, enjoy whatever it is. But the truth that we know is that there is sin, and there is light, and there is darkness, there's light. There is God and goodness, and there's bad and there's evil. And just to make sure that we know, quick assessment of the room. If you're a sinner, would you raise your hand? Okay. So this is no judgment. We're not throwing any stones. We are in this together. We are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we're all able to be saved by grace. Because without sin, without that in our life, there's no need for grace. So if we could figure out a way to not sin, we don't need grace. But I'll tell you, I'm a really good sinner. I sinned on my way over here to church this morning. 2 or 3 times. Grace isn't something that we earn. It's freely given to us. And it's an incredible gift, because it means, despite the sin in my life, despite the things that I do wrong, despite the people that I, you know, may accidentally hurt, or the things that I may do that isn't right, God still wants to be with me, spend time with me, still wants to love me. And even more amazing to me is that not only does he, despite all of my weaknesses, despite all of my flaws, not only does he want to love me, but he wants to use me. Like, that's his grace, that even though my life's not perfect, even though I don't have it all figured out, even though I'm chief of sinners, he wants to use me to expand his kingdom. He wants to use me to share his word with his people. And he does it without holding anything back. Like, if I was God, I'd make people earn my grace. Let's settle this. I'm not God, and I still make people try to earn my grace. Right? Like, you wronged me, so you better make it right. You did something to me, so you better fix it. But that's not how God works. That's not how his grace works. His grace is given so freely, and it covers all of my sin. all of it, not just what we think it should cover. You ever been there where maybe there's things in your life where you're like, ah, just don't know if God, you can't cover that. Like, I got to make this right. I messed up. But, what I love about God is that he doesn't care what we think. He wants to send his grace and cover us anyway. You know, Jesus' death on the cross is given, and it's often hardest to accept for ourselves, right? Maybe you've done something. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's something that you've done in the past that you hold on to. And it's a reminder, and you hold on to it as a reminder of where you were. But sometimes that reminder brings you down, right? Sometimes that reminder of that sin that maybe you committed 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that thing you did to that person or whatever, like you hold on to that. But what God wants to do is he said, I paid for that. I cleaned the slate there. You do not owe anyone anything for what you've done. You don't owe anything for your transgressions. You don't have to pay me back. I simply want to love you. That's amazing grace right there. That is amazing grace. You know, Joyce Meyer said this. She said, when you make a mistake, the devil comes and tells you you're no good. You don't have to take on the guilt and condemnation he wants to put on you. No, you can immediately confess your mistake to God, thank him for forgiving you and cleansing you with the blood of Jesus, and move forward in the victory of his grace and forgiveness. The enemy wants you to hold on to your sin. The enemy wants you to hold on to the things that you've done. The enemy wants you to hold on to that guilt and condemnation so that you feel guilty and feel unworthy of the grace on your life. But what God wants to do is he says, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation in me. In my grace, you're all forgiven. And it's so hard to accept, right? Like, grace is often hardest. Like, we tell other people who maybe have done what we've done, hey, his grace covers it. Don't worry about it. Meanwhile, we've got a little room in our heart that we're like, oh, this is the room that, God, you don't want to go into. I don't think you could handle this. Right? We keep it locked away while we tell others that it covers us. Well, I want to let you know that you've got to accept his grace. You have to grasp onto that. You have to hold onto it and say, I accept this. I accept that I've been forgiven. And then you can walk freely without all that weight, without all that guilt, without all that shame. And then you truly experience the freedom that God wants to give you. And when we truly accept this gift of grace, what happens is grace transforms us. Right? Titus verse says, you get salvation and then you turn away. Well, we turn away because we've been transformed by grace. I think about who I was 10, 15 years ago. Right? Think about who you were. And it was about 12 years ago that I really started taking my walk with Jesus seriously, that I finally decided to take ownership and invest in my relationship with God. And I really realize how much grace I've been shown in my life. Like, I look back at my life and I go, I don't deserve anything that I have. Because really, like, who I was 12 years ago was, I was super selfish. I used people to help me get where I wanted to be. And if you couldn't help me, I didn't want anything to do with you. I was arrogant, prideful. I mean, all things that still creep up on me. But I do know that through grace, I've been transformed. And now I've given my life to serving people. And that it took his grace to change me. Because where I used to see people as an avenue to get me somewhere, I now see people as somewhere to deliver the love of God to. And so it's through grace that that transformed. It's not by my work. It's not by anything that I've done. It's by his work and what he's done. Grace has made me a new person, and I can't stay the same once I've encountered God's grace. Like, once you encounter God's grace, you can never be the same. But it takes that embrace. We talked about embracing the grace, right? It takes us to sit there and accept that grace. And the best part about grace is it means that you don't have to stay the same. Who I was 12 years ago, 13 years, 14, 15 years ago, like, because I've encountered grace means I can't stay the same and I don't have to. You know, I've been in ministry, vocational ministry, for quite a while now. And one of the things that I talk through with people is they're like, well, this is my struggle, this is my cross to bear. Is it? Because what my Bible says is that his grace covers everything. What my Bible says is that his grace paid for that. You don't have to, he carried the cross. He died on it. That's what my Bible says. And so when I talk to people and they say, well, I just know this is always going to be my struggle. It may be something that always comes up, but that doesn't mean you have to carry the suitcase. That doesn't mean you have to walk around with that. Maybe it's the scarlet A, right? That you don't have to wear that because Jesus died on the cross for us. Brennan Manning says, grace is sufficient even though we huff and puff with all our might to try to find something or someone that it cannot cover. Grace is enough. You can look for excuses, you can look for things, but here's the deal. His grace is enough. His grace is more than enough. What I love about God is that he doesn't give grace like we would. He doesn't give it to those who try hard or work for it. He gives it freely and abundantly to anyone and everyone that would accept it. And what I love about him is that you're never going to be asked to forgive or show grace more than you've been forgiven or already shown grace. If you want to do a little grace assessment in your life, this is the easiest way, or I don't know if the easiest way, but this is a way to figure out where you are in accepting grace. It's the level in which you've received grace is the level you will extend grace. I don't know about you, but how I extend grace oftentimes is pretty judgmental, pretty withholding. That guy's got to fix his life first, and then I'll give him grace. Then what that shows is in my heart, there's areas that I think that I have to fix before God will show me grace. And when I did, I sat down and I kind of wrote out a list of things, and just personally, like, what areas do I withhold grace from people? And I'll tell you, I wish the list wasn't as long as it was. But then I had to sit and repent and say, God, I know you've forgiven me for not showing grace to these people, but would you forgive me for not accepting your grace? Like, you died on the cross for me. And yet I'm refusing the gift. I am so, so sorry. So maybe that's something you should do or look at or ask yourself. Like, what level have I received God's grace? Because you'll never outgive it. You'll never outgive God's grace. What he's given to you, you're never going to be ahead of him. See, when grace transforms us, It's because we realize what we've been given. We realize the gift. And there's a story in Matthew 18:21 is where it starts. I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to paraphrase this parable here and hopefully do it justice here. But there's a servant gets called in to pay a debt to his master. And it's, I don't know, around like $1.5 million, okay? So $1.5 million servant owes his master. My guess is that at a servant's wage, you're not paying that back anytime soon. Like Jesus has this weird kind of awkward sense of humor where he just like creates this big number. He's like, they'll never be able to pay this. That's the number I'm going to use for this parable. And so he says, so he's got this servant, comes in, master calls him in. Hey, you got my $1.5 million? Servant probably goes, see my check into my savings and I got to move some things around. I don't really got it right now, but give me a few days. And so what the master does, he said, you know what? Forget about it. Now, what was tradition was if a servant couldn't pay, the master would sell him off to repay the debt. And I don't know, maybe the master was like, this guy ain't going to fetch $1.5 million. So probably not, but I don't know. That's where my mind went. But the master goes, you know what? You're forgiven. Don't worry about it. Your debt is paid. I'm taking it off the books. You don't owe anything. Like, wow, that's incredible. Could you just imagine being relieved of a $1.5 million debt? So this guy gets the weight of the world off his shoulders, gets done, and goes and finds another servant who owes him money. Oh, man, how awesome is this story, right? This servant's going to go, and he's going to go let this person know, hey, I've just been forgiven $1.5 million. I'm going to forgive your $20 debt. No, that's not how the story goes. It's this servant who's just forgiven this debt goes and says, hey, where's my 20 bucks? Oh, you don't have it? You better pay up or you're going to go to jail. And meanwhile, all the other, like, so he's shaking down this guy for 20 bucks. And other servants see that. And they go snitch to the master, right? They go tell. They say, hey, we know you just forgave this guy a big debt. Well, now he's going to get his 20 bucks from somebody else. And he's throwing him in jail. Well, then the master, you know, he hears the story and he calls him in and he said, what are you doing? He said, well, that guy owes me 20 bucks. It's like, do you not understand what just happened here? I graciously eliminated your debt. You probably should have done that, but since you didn't want to, it's time for you to go to jail until your debt is paid. And Jesus tells the story, right? And I think for me, it really represents grace to us, is that God forgave us of everything, and when we accept it and we're able to walk in freedom that grace offers us, then we're able to freely give grace to others. But when we decide we don't want to, or it's not the right time to forgive somebody or show grace to somebody, we are actually locking ourselves in prison. We're actually imprisoning ourselves from his grace. God's intention for grace isn't that we selfishly keep it and hold on to it. It's actually, his plan is that we would accept his grace and then go out and show the world that grace changes everything. And that grace changes the world. See, when we're able to live freely in grace, we live like Jesus wants us to, like God has called us to. But it's hard. It's hard to accept grace for ourselves. And once we do that, to go out and share that with other people, we live in a world that desperately needs the grace of God. We live in a world that desperately people need to experience grace. It feels like anything I watch or anything that I see news-wise is one person being angry about another person. Like so mad to the point where it just gets crazy, right? And it's like, can we show a little grace and realize that we're all human? We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that's the side of Christianity that the world needs to see. Because if we go back to that Titus scripture, salvation has been given to all people. That gift has been shown to everyone from the beginning. And then transformation comes. See, I think a lot of us go out and we expect people to change so that they can receive grace. That's not how grace works. That's not how grace worked for your life. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's not fair. But yet he gave it away anyway. I love Hebrews 12:15. Says this, and this is in the Passion Version. Watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace. You want to walk in the fullness of his grace? You want to walk in the freedom of his grace that he has offered you? Let everyone you know tell them about it. Tell them about grace. Tell them how amazing it is. Tell them how incredible it is. Tell them how you didn't have to earn it. You didn't deserve it. You can tell them that, man, grace is so good. Here's the grace of God in my life, is that even though I mess up, even though I fail, even though I'm not perfect, he loves me anyway and has given me favor. I find myself in situations all the time where I'm like, God, your grace is so good. I don't deserve to be in this situation. Even mornings like this where I go, God, I don't deserve to share your word. Who am I? But yet his grace says, go for it. I've called you. And this is the side of Christianity that the world needs to see. They know about the rules and the things that we expect. The side that people need to see and experience for themselves is grace. We've got to go out and we've got to extend it to those around us. That grace for sin is freely poured out on us so that we can show the world, hey, I'm not perfect, but I am saved by grace. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together, but man, the grace of God covers a multitude of sins. And when I say multitude, I mean multitude. If we can share that message, it will change the world. Because once people start experiencing grace and living it out for themselves, gosh, then they show it to somebody else who shows it to somebody else. You want to make the biggest impact you can, start sharing it with one person. Because if you're familiar with multiplication, how that works, if that one person shares it with one person who shares it with one person, right, the growth is insane. It's crazy. Because then after you've shared it with one person, you go and share it with another one person, shares it with another one person, right? It's just crazy. His grace has the power to change those around you. I don't know if you've ever met somebody who you felt like maybe is too far from grace. Stop it. Don't act like that. There is nobody who's too far from the grace of God. Which I know is easy to say. It's another thing to live it out. Grace has been freely given to us. It transforms us. And it's going to change the world. But it starts once we accept it. And then go out and show it to others. We start living the way that God called us to live because his grace is so good. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've done, everything that you've given us. We thank you that your grace has been freely given. And God, I pray in this room that anybody who is sitting here, who's denied your grace in their life, who's denied you access to a place where they need grace the most, God, I pray that that door would be opened up, that God, you would permeate through that, your grace and your love would overthrow that, would flood up that spot in their life, and so that they can accept it and move on. God, that they wouldn't be carrying the baggage and weight that they feel like they've been bound to carry because it's their problem. God, I pray for those of us who maybe have had trouble extending grace to people because we haven't accepted it, Lord, that we would extend grace to all of those around us just as freely as you have extended grace to us. And God, I pray right now, as we go out, we would change the world by sharing your grace. God, that people would see Jesus in a whole new light just from us simply sharing how good God's grace is in our life. We love you. We thank you. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.